From your fryer to the table, it's a quick trip for crispy fries. But how about a crosstown delivery? McCain SureCrisp fries are designed to go from fryer to container to carrier to passenger seat across town during rush hour down a shortcut that wasn't all that short to a doorstep before they hit the table. And that first bite, the crispiness speaks for itself.
Mmm.
To the last bite, McCain SureCrisp fries go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.
It's football season, and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With four episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the JR Sport Brief. This is the Good Shepherd filling in for the great JR Sport Brief on the Infinity Sports Network, SiriusXM, Channel 375. For free, you can hear us at all times on the Odyssey app. You can get us on your local affiliate. You can get us on your smart speaker device. All you have to say is, hey, Alexa, play the Infinity Sports Network. Always a pleasure to be with you on the JR Sport Brief, filling in for a good friend of mine, getting to work alongside Ryan Botcher, Yankees hater. Excuse me. We will get to the Thursday night football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. We will certainly keep you updated and afloat of what is going on between the Phillies and the Dodgers. It's still 0-0. Are you kidding me? Dang. I mean, give us a little bit of action. I mean, Bill Belichick's UNC Tar Heels score more than this.
I'd hope so. It's a football team.
Botcher, have you seen them play this year?
I watched one game and I said I will not be watching anymore because they got blown out.
What a disaster. Hey, I'm not, Botcher, you've known me for a long time. 3-4 years? Right?
Three?
Okay. Do I say anything to be controversial?
No. You see what you see.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. He spends more time trying to sell books, focusing on a relationship with someone 49 years his junior, more than he does coaching his football team, in my opinion. That's the problem. His priorities are completely out of whack. And let me tell you something. If you're going to be curt, and you're going to be acerbic, and you're going to be a pain in the ass, you better win. And now that he has been the way he has been with the media for as many years as he was, which was a curmudgeon, now people are going to bury you. If this were Pete Carroll, there'd be a lot more empathy. There'd be a lot more understanding. Hey, he's in his mid-70s, trying to do the impossible. Nick Saban couldn't do it or didn't want to do it, and he's the greatest to ever do it, at least of this generation, and he wanted out. So Bill Belichick trying to do this at 73 years old when he had never been part of a college football program, you give him credit just for trying, but he was a jerk to so many people for so long, including his own owner and boss, Robert Kraft. And that's why you see so many people going after him, because you better be careful about how you treat people on the way up. Because a lot of times, Botcher, you're going to see those same people on the way down. And if this were Andy Reid going to college and going 2-3 and getting outscored 75-13 against three teams by halftime, there'd be a lot more of an understanding and a lot more leniency and leeway that we would give Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid is nothing but respectful to the media. He's not difficult. He doesn't cut players a year or two prematurely. He doesn't get rid of a franchise quarterback that's won their respective organization 6 Super Bowls because he's jealous. But Bill Belichick was a pain in the ass, and he was a jerk to a lot of people. And he's getting what he deserves in many people's eyes and minds. And this has been an absolute disaster. And anytime you have Mike Lombardi trying to do PR for you, you know, reaching out to the donors, reaching out to the boosters, saying, hey, This is a rebuilding year. I don't think it was a rebuilding year when Michael Jordan, Lawrence Taylor, and Julius Peppers were showing up for game number one. It was the biggest thing since sliced bread was invented. I didn't hear anything about rebuilding then. I didn't hear the words rebuilding come out of Bill Belichick's mouth once at his introductory press conference. But they know they're getting their asses handed to them. They know they're getting smoked by unranked teams. They know they just got their asses kicked by Clemson, who was a one-win team coming into week number six. A Clemson team that was up 28-3 in the first quarter, for crying out loud. And this is all about saving face. This is all about damage control. That's all this is. See what you did, Bacher? You got me started on Bill Belichick.
He deserves it. I think he totally went into college just assuming he'd use this as a lily pad or jump pad to get back to the NFL.
100%.
And he didn't realize how tough it is to manage college personalities versus NFL players, because NFL players, mainly most of them, went to high SEC schools or big conference schools with the highest coaches and discipline possible. And then you go to a school like UNC and you see a bunch of guys who are split on their NIL money. They're split on why they even went there, because they came for a different coach. And he's not built to handle personalities. He can't even handle his own personality.
Well, that's most people, though. If I'm being fair, I think most people don't necessarily know how to get the best of themselves, right? But as a coach, to your point, you may not be able to get the best of yourself, but you better get the best of the individuals that you lead. And to your point, he's never been a leader. He didn't have to be in New England, because the guy that was leading everybody was Tom Brady. That was the guy that everyone was willing to follow. And when Tom Brady is going out there and competing in a Super Bowl literally every other year, you can kind of take the gruff of Bill Belichick. You can take the coldness. You can take the distance. You can take the lack of warmth, because you know you're going to be competitive every single year. But if you're at UNC and you're getting beat 28-3 by a one-win Clemson Tiger team that's having their worst season under Dabo Swinney in the 20 years that he's been there, you can't get away with being a jerk then. And to your point, Bacher, you hit the nail on the head. This is without question, without a shadow of a doubt, a stepping stone. And while Bill Belichick was promoting his book on ABC and CBS and dodging Jordan Hudson questions like he's Ben Stiller in an underdog, you know, true story starring Vince Vaughn, other coaches were out there hitting the recruiting trail and getting the right fits and personnel for their respective team. What did you know about Gio Lopez heading into this season? I didn't know a heck of a lot. That's the guy you were relying on to be the savior? Come on.
And I think he gave all of his recruiting responsibilities mainly to Lombardi. And I don't want to put blame on Michael Lombardi as their GM,
right,
in quotes. But you'd think that Bill would have more passion for this. The way he's responding to questions, he's always very passionate in a dark way where he's just quiet, angry, short. But there's just something different this year.
Well, you can see, you know, Bear Bryant, and that's even before my time. But Bear Bryant wasn't a rah-rah guy. He wasn't a Dabo Swinney. He wasn't a Joe Paterno. He was subdued. He was to himself. He would often watch practices in his ivory tower. But he had the best interest of his players. He connected with them. What you're hearing, Bacher, is that from the parents, he has no relationship with these players. Like, there's no dialogue. There's no contact. And when you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, you're a kid. You're a kid. You need that back and forth with the head coach. You know, you can say whatever you want about Deion Sanders. Do you follow their YouTube channel, Colorado Buffalo, Off the Wall?
I don't, but I assume there's tons of vlog content every other week.
Bacher, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. He brings in so many leaders in so many different vocations and spaces. I've never seen Denzel Washington do an interview this long. He did a 40-minute Skype with the Colorado Buffalo team. Can you imagine what it would be like? Now, do you appreciate Denzel the way that I do?
I appreciate him as an actor.
Like,
I don't know if he's going to help me like read a defense and avoid a pick six. But
so,
you know.
So I look, now this may be a bad example, but before the slap on Chris Rock, Will Smith was larger than life.
Still is. It's just...
He's taken a turn for the worst. And in a lot of people's eyes. He's now seen by a lot of people as a joke. He is.
I know. I'm just going to say, like, the last 10 years, he kind of has.
Like when he was doing that rap in public, right?
Oh, I just saw that.
Right,
yeah.
Like he's become a laughingstock for some people. But I'll tell you something. Before that slap, there was not a bigger movie star on planet Earth than Will Smith, and that includes Tom Cruise. Denzel Washington has an aura about him. There's a larger-than-life factor that you can't quantify, you can't measure. Michael Jordan has it, too. You ask anyone about Michael Jordan, when you're around his aura, you don't want to invade his space because it's just something that's esoteric, right? Denzel has that. He has that kind of charisma. He has that magnetism. For him to sit down with a group of college kids, Bacha, they're going to remember that for the rest of their life. My point is, Deion Sanders... make sure he uses his celebrity, uses his profile, uses his platform to bring in world-renowned international global stars where otherwise these kids would never have an opportunity to be face-to-face with. When is the last time Bill Belichick brought in anybody to speak to his kids and do anything for them that would be memorable?
Wish I would know. They don't post anything. But probably the biggest name that'll come on is that actually respects him is maybe Edelman, Baby Gronk.
Those are big names. Get them.
Yeah, but like,
get them.
You're comparing. You can get them, right? They have their podcast. But I feel
get Ty Law.
Honestly, get
Troy. Get Troy Brown. Right. Get Kevin.
Rex Burkhead. Anybody
right,
from
right?
those teams.
Rex Burkhead. That's a throwback right there. Seriously, get Danny Whitehead. Like, get Wes Welker. I mean, they don't even have to be A-listers. Just get somebody. You don't see any kind of connection he has with his kids. Botcher, if I'm working, like I coach JV basketball, you know this. What I try to do is I'll bring in someone in this particular space, not me, because, you know, they hear me enough, but I'll ask JR to speak to the team, you know? I'll ask Bart Winkler to speak to the team. I'll ask hosts here to speak to the team so they get a sense of what the national landscape is like, just so it can add to their toolbox. It's another connection. It's another tool in their toolbox in terms of wisdom and as someone who is a potential connector. Belichick doesn't think about any of this. Deion Sanders thrusts himself, immerses himself to his kids. And there's a reason why they won 9 games in year 2. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You know, I blame you for this, Botcher. I was going to preview Giants and Eagles. Now, there's not much to preview. Who are we kidding? The Eagles are 4-1. They gave up 18 unanswered points to the Broncos. We all know they're going to come out with an absolute killer kind of mindset because they've won 15 out of 20 versus the New York Giants. And we all know that Jalen Hurts is 5-1 in his last 6 games versus New York. But you got me started on that Bill Belichick tangent. And once I get started on Bill Belichick, he's just easy pickings these days, Botcher. Let's get to Alex in Miami. Alex, I appreciate the patience, brother. Always good to hear from you. What do you have for us, sir?
Hey, Shep, the first caller on the show said that you're seldomly on, and you're not seldomly on. Now, people from this time, so I've got to remember that you're on 2 to 6 every single weekend, and that they can always reach you when you're not being hacked on social media. I step on air at Twitter.
Dude, Alex, I feel so out of body right now not being able to tweet, because like, that's my number one way of communication with listeners and fans and friends of the show, and I can't do that right now, so it's bizarre.
Yeah, I understand. It must be frustrating for you because I know that's one of your main means of communication. I'm watching the Phillies-Dodgers game, and as the game goes on, it's getting worse for the Dodgers because we all know that the Dodgers' weakness is their bullpen.
Yep.
And this game is probably going to depend on which bullpen holds up. So I figure that we don't know what's going to happen, but the advantage at this time does go to the Phillies. And if the Phillies win this game, they're going to have momentum going into game 5.
Without question.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, Nick, you know, I'm sure you saw this. Nick Castellanos did hit an RBI double in the top of the seventh inning. So the Phillies, to your point, did just take a 1-0 lead.
Yes, sir. And as the game goes on, you know, it's going to be dependent, like I said, upon the bullpen. And we all know that the weakness of the Dodgers is their bullpen. So right now, I would say advantage Phillies. If the Phillies do win this game, they're going to have the momentum going into game five. And it might not be good news for the Dodgers. We have to see what happens.
The only silver lining to this, Alex, is Kershaw's got to come back. Like, you can't, I know he announced the retirement. He would not be the first big-time athlete to renege a retirement announcement and come back the following year. You can't go out like this. You can't go out being up 2-0, taking two at Citizens Bank. You're considered by many to be the favorite to get back to a World Series coming out of the National League, and you lose 3 straight, 2 at home, and you, as an all-time great pitcher, your last outing is giving up 5 runs in relief work. You can't go out like that if you're Clayton Kershaw.
Well, regardless of if the Dodgers advance or not, there's still a lot of baseball to play. I don't see Kershaw pitching again.
I know.
I think he just made his last appearance. And no, I don't think he's going to come back. I think he was really serious about retiring. And you got to remember that Kershaw, yes, has his career and he has his legacy to fulfill and all that. But Kershaw is also a family man. And he also wants to be there for every single step as his kids grow going forward. And to him, I think that Kershaw, being the type of person that he is, puts family first before anything else.
I can't say it any better than that. You're 100% right. Obviously, the guy went 11-2. He was 7-0 in the last 2 months of this season. He was lights out in the month of August when he had a less than a 2 ERA. The guy has been unbelievable in his final year. There's a lot of truth to what you're saying. Could have easily kept pitching, could have, you know, racked up the strikeout totals, could have racked up the win totals, could have potentially eclipsed Justin Verlander and become the winningest pitcher of the 21st century, but you're 100% right. His priorities are very much in line with family, faith, and that takes precedent over, you know, individual accolades in the sport of baseball. So you're 100% right about that.
He's already accomplished a lot. To me, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think it's just going to be a matter of which guy doesn't vote for him. Like that, you can make headlines and get clicks later on. But I do think that he is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's already had a long career, and it's time for him to move on. When it comes to your New York Yankees, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you when it comes to Mr. Boone. I think that Mr. Boone, yes, has a good winning percentage, like you said, and he has a lot of accolades, but yet he hasn't been able to win the big game or the big series. Therefore, I think the Yankees need a spark. Not so much, I'm not so much putting this on Boone, but sometimes when a team gets a spark, although the pasture's not always greener on the other side, they tend to respond. And they keep on trying the same thing over and over again. And to me, that's a definition of insanity. So I think that they should move on from Boone.
And go to who? That's the question. And Alex, I will say this. I hear what you're saying. This isn't good enough. You're right. Almost a decade now, with obviously managing since 2019. So we're talking going on year number 8 when we start 2026. And to have 1 World Series win, and not a World Series title win, I mean a game, yeah, it is disappointing. There's 2 guys who, if they said they want to manage, I would give a shot. And I'm thinking of 2 former Yankees. One retired in 2014, the other retired in 2011.
Girardi.
No, I wouldn't go back to Girardi. You saw what he did in Philly.
So you wouldn't go back to your Girardi?
No, okay. No. You know the two guys who I would give a shot to over Aaron Boone? Botcher, I don't know if you agree with this, but Alex, you hit the nail on the head. They do need a spark. I agree with you. But if you're going to make this move to ultimately get rid of one of the 10 winningest managers in the history of Major League Baseball in terms of winning percentage, you better make sure that you literally and figuratively knock the decision out of the park and that you get this right. There's 2 names that would make all the sense in the world that would have instant respect and credibility, even more so than Aaron Boone. So one retired in 2011, all-time Yankee, and the other is an iconic Yankee, retired in 2014.
For a second, I thought Brett Gardner.
No. Although he'd be good too. He'd be good too because he got everything out of his body. He maximized every ounce of potential, Brett Gardner. So Jorge Posada would be one. And then Derek Jeter would be the other. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Okay, Derek Jeter would be a good choice, I think, more than Posada. But do you really think Derek Jeter at this point would want to manage? I mean, I think so.
He played the shortstop position until he was 40. He's a certain type of competitor that is one of one. I mean, he's in the 0.001%. You know, Derek Jeter would relish the opportunity to be the manager of the New York Yankees. And while it's not all going to be sunshine and rainbows, for him to win the Yankees' first World Series title in what will be 17 years and counting, I think he would just take his baseball resume to a whole nother level. And he loves the game. He loves the sport. He couldn't stay away from it, right? Had a bad dealing with your Marlins. Didn't see eye to eye with that organization. And he found himself in the Fox booth, you know, a day later, essentially.
Well, when it comes to Derek Jeter and the Marlins, it really wasn't Derek Jeter's fault. Derek Jeter was trying to build a team, trying to win, but at the same time, the Marlins didn't want to spend any money, and he got frustrated. He got frustrated because he couldn't put the team on the field that he really wanted to put on the field at that point. So he was handcuffed. He didn't have a chance to succeed. And he was put in a bad situation.
I agree. Well, we're never put in a bad situation when you call, Alex from Miami. And I appreciate your insight and perspective for usual, man. We'll talk over the weekend. You enjoy the rest of this game four between the Dodgers and Phillies. And then in the entree of this particular playoff matchup on Thursday between the Brewers and the Cubbies, man. Always good to hear from you, Alex.
By the way, Chep, our friend Gilberto's at the game with the Dodgers, and I just texted him because I'm scared that he's going to have a heart attack, and I told him to take it easy, that it's only a game.
Yes, it's only a game. Try telling that to a sold-out fan base in Los Angeles right now. I don't know how they would take that message, but you're right. We both agree. Rationally speaking, it is a game. It's a game that people take very seriously. Good to hear from you as always, my friend. Thanks for calling us, Alex. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. When we get back, we will keep you afloat of everything going on between the Dodgers and Phillies. We will give you the latest between the Eagles and the Giants. The Eagles and Giants have not played more than 3 minutes, Ryan Botcher, and they have I know it's football, but they have already scored more than both teams combined in baseball. That is because this is a mismatch between the Eagles and the Giants. We explain why on the other side. It's the Good Shepherd in for the great JR Sport Brief right here on the Infinity Sports Network. You can always follow me at Shep On Air on Twitter or Instagram. We're coming right back with Eagles and Giants. Don't move.
It's football season, and you gotta keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From your fryer to the table, it's a quick trip for crispy fries. But how about a crosstown delivery? McCain SureCrisp fries are designed to go from fryer to container to carrier to passenger seat across town during rush hour down a shortcut that wasn't all that short to a doorstep before they hit the table. And that first bite, the crispiness speaks for itself.
Mmm.
To the last bite, McCain SureCrisp fries go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's David Shepherd.
Yeah, that's me. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Good Shepherd in for the great JR Sport Brief right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is certainly a pitcher's duel, but you credit the Dodgers for hanging tough. Mookie Betts drawing a bases-loaded walk, tying it up in the bottom of the seventh. Teoscar Hernandez unfortunately strikes out with the bases loaded. So we're going to go to the eighth inning, tied 1-1. This is everything you could have asked for in terms of being edge of your seat and absolute narrow margin victory. Whomever comes up victorious in game number four, it is going to be quite different from what you are going to see on Thursday night football. It took the Eagles all but 3 minutes to put up points on the board against the New York Giants. And then, of course, as I say that, Jackson Dart scores a touchdown on a 19-yard rush. I will say this, though. I don't see this particular game being very close. I see the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, being in the driver's seat in this division. I see them in the first time for 20 years winning back-to-back NFC East titles. And I do see Saquon Barkley having a significant role in this game. You know, I was talking to Brian DiArdo of CBSSports.com, NFL writer, and he did mention the one game that Saquon Barkley did play against his former New York Giants. He lit them up in 2024, 176 rushing yards. This Thursday is going to be no exception. And the other component to this is when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles, they let a game slip right through their fingertips when they were up 17-3 in the fourth quarter at home against the Denver Broncos. And I know Bo Nix is a very good second-year quarterback, but it ain't John Elway. It's not Peyton Manning 2013. That should have never happened. And so because of that, instead of the Eagles being the only remaining undefeated team in the NFL and being in the driver's seat to get the number one seed, they're now tied with the Detroit Lions. They're tied with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are tied with the San Francisco 49ers, all at 4-1. So every single game from this point forward matters tremendously because the 49ers are better than what we anticipated in 2025. Same can be said for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Same could be said for the Detroit Lions. And you know how important home field advantage is going to be for the Philadelphia Eagles. Not to mention the fact that aside from the New York Giants, this is a competitive NFC East. The Cowboys are better than we anticipated. A lot of people thought they would drop off completely and off the face of the earth when they elected to trade Micah Parsons. A lot of people felt like that was them waving the towel, waving the white flag. And all of a sudden, Dak Prescott's like having a resurgent year. And they're playing surprisingly well for Shoddy, a.k.a. Brian Schottenheimer. And then you talk about the Washington Commanders. It's good to see Jaden Daniels in week number five look like that version we saw during his rookie year. So to me, you give Jackson Dart all the credit. You know, being a spark plug for the New York Giants, you know, being someone that gives them a dimension they didn't quite have with Russell Wilson, you know, this is the only other first-round pick of the 2025 NFL draft outside of course, Cam Ward in Tennessee. He looks the part of a franchise quarterback. I don't think they're ready to win with him in 2025. I don't think outside of Malik Nabers, they have anyone exceptional on offense. So it's not like he's going to a team that has the pieces. They just need that missing piece in form of a quarterback. So I see the Eagles winning this game comfortably. I really do. Ack, I got a question for you before we throw to an update. Your MVP so far in the 2025 NFL season is who?
Too early to tell.
Fair enough.
You know, you got to wait at least 6 weeks. So if, we're in week six.
If you had to choose, would it be Baker Mayfield?
Be up there. Certainly be in consideration.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many ups and downs, especially now with the way practices are in the preseason and so few preseason games. You can't make that judgment right now.
No, that's fair. The reason I bring that up is because Jalen Hurts, it's something about playing in Philadelphia. He gets all this gruff and all this backlash about the relationship between him and A.J. Brown. Meanwhile, all this guy does is go out there, rush for 40, 50 yards every single game at the quarterback position, has no interceptions so far this season. I think Jalen Hurts is playing the best football of his career, and that's saying something considering he is one of the winningest quarterbacks already in the history of the NFL, and that's pretty impressive considering he's only been a starter for 5 years, looking to get to Super Bowl number 3 and get to Super Bowl victory number 2, and they're going to be 5-1 after Thursday Night Football against the Giants. Number to join us is 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. When we get back, we're going to talk about Ryan Botcher's favorite coach, Bill Belichick, and we're going to give you even more detail on why this continues to be the disaster of 2025 when it comes to all of football. We'll get to that on the other side. Before we do anything else on the JR Sport Brief, let's get to our latest sports flash with the Ackman. Here's Rich Ackerman.
It's football season, and you got to keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With 4 episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
September 5th, 2025, Wyden and Kennedy for McDonald's. Add ID MCWK047325A. Spot title 2025 DD Monopoly Get Your Bag GCMENG Audio 30. 30 seconds, radio full mix.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's David Shepherd.
Welcome back, everybody. This indeed is David Shepherd in for the great JR Sport Brief on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll keep you updated on the major games going on in professional sports. The Giants taking a 13-3 first quarter lead. Jackson Dart with a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown. And pretty remarkable what Jackson Dart has been able to accomplish in the first quarter against the defending reigning champions, because he has essentially put up as many points against Philly in the first quarter that he did against the Saints in the entirety of that game in week number 5. This, without question, is looking like the best game that Jackson Dart has ever played of his professional career, and a very welcome sight for New York Giants fans that have been clamoring to finally see a franchise quarterback last. A lot of people felt like when Daniel Jones got that $40 million a year, 4-year contract worth $160 million, that they had found the heir apparent to Eli Manning. That would not be the case in their eyes. They wanted to go in a different direction. And here Daniel Jones is making the Colts look like the biggest geniuses on the entire planet. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And of course, no surprise here, Dodgers and Phillies tied at 1 heading into the 9th inning. Now, I never thought I would say this, but 5 games into the season, Bill Belichick, you never thought we'd have a conversation about a potential dismissal after season number 1. But that's exactly what has happened when North Carolina comes out with a statement supporting Bill Belichick. And you don't need to come out with a statement supporting Bill Belichick if you don't know that there's enough of a conversation being had in terms of people wanting him out. So that's just sad that we've gotten to that point. But if you are making $10 million per season and you signed a 5-year contract, 5 games in, you're not supposed to be facing this kind of scrutiny and this kind of turmoil. But this is one of the most disappointing coaching jobs in recent memory, without question. and you go back to week number six, they're down 28-3 against a one-win Clemson team. They give up 14 points on the first four plays alone. And at the time, this is the worst Clemson Tigers team we've ever seen under Dabo Swinney. This wasn't even a top 10 team in their own conference. And they blew North Carolina off the field. And UNC, they got to do a much better job of going 2 of 11 on third down. And the thing about Belichick's New England teams was that they didn't beat themselves. They were the ones that forced you to beat yourself. And we're not seeing any of that from UNC. Bill Belichick, he could not be executing worse. And I love how the Tar Heels, not just from an administration standpoint, but from dealing with the fans, they're trying to release a letter to donors and boosters, convincing, you know, those individuals that this is somehow a time period that's rebuilding. There's nothing rebuilding about a 73-year-old coach that just got ousted by the NFL that's looking to get back into the NFL or at least sticking it to the NFL. There is nothing rebuilding about this. When he gave that press conference and became, by leaps and bounds, the highest paid North Carolina State employee, you did not hear the concept nor term redemption come out of his mouth once. When you saw Michael Jordan, Julius Peppers, and an all-time great in his own right, Lawrence Taylor, supporting UNC in game one against TCU, you did not hear the word redemption come out of anybody's mouth. This is just a lame-ass attempt to save face and justify you falling completely flat on your face in 2025. And the truth of the matter is, it ain't just me ripping Bill Belichick. Paul Feinbaum, a longtime supporter of Bill Belichick, he shares the same sentiment. This botcher, I believe, is courtesy of ESPN. Let's take a listen to Paul Feinbaum.
We're talking about Bill Belichick, who is the greatest NFL coach in history. Right now, Jeff.
Well, that's Vince Lombardi.
He's working toward being the worst coach in college football history. That's how bad he is. There's nothing to be happy about. I mean, it's an abject disaster. I feel badly for the guy because it seemed like a good idea at the time. But right now, I mean, who in their right mind would want to go play for him?
I agree with Paul Feinbaum on everything, single thing that he uttered, with the exception of who the greatest coach is of all time. Vince Lombardi won 5 championships in all, never had a losing season, went to Washington and had their first winning season in more than a decade. Bill Belichick is the most accomplished coach of his generation in his time in the NFL. He's not greater than Vince Lombardi, and that's not even a debate, in my humble opinion. What is also not up for debate is the incredibly lousy performance of Bill Belichick. To add insult to injury, what makes this sting even more if you're a Tar Heel fan is that you just ousted the most successful coach in the history of the program and Mac Brown just to get Bill Belichick there. And what makes this worse is you're talking to quarterback Max Johnson, who started last Saturday in place of Gio Lopez, and he talked about UNC having plenty of talent. Receiver Jordan Shipp, he echoed the same statement. And why are they saying one thing, and then Mike Lombardi is trying to convince you of something else? They can't even seem to get their story straight in their own locker room. You allow 28 points to the Clemson Tigers in the first quarter alone. Bill Belichick, in nearly 3 decades of being a head coach, has not allowed that in a first quarter ever until last Saturday. And you did wonders for Cade Klubnik, because for the first time all year, he finally looked like the perennial Heisman favorite we were anticipating that he would be in 2025. So if you're UNC, this is just absolutely embarrassing, because there's a lack of effort. There's a lack of accountability. There's a lack of discipline. And who oversees that? Who instills that? It's the head coach. And the head coach of UNC, before Bill Belichick, he was doing just fine. 4 of the 6 seasons that Mac Brown coached at UNC, they were ranked top 13 or better in four of those six seasons, you do realize Bill Belichick's UNC Tar Heels in 2025, they may not finish in the top 13 in the ACC. Mac Brown had this team playing in bowl games. I don't know if Bill Belichick will ever even be considered for a bowl game the way they have looked. I mean, you made Kay Klubnik look like he was Joe Burrow out there. Kay, he missed two passes. You didn't do anything to disrupt him in the backfield, to even make him feel a little bit of wind in the back, that he had to have a little bit of pressure where he wasn't pinpoint with every single throw. I mean, this was a disaster. And all this does is really just confirm that Bill Belichick and his entire New England career was riding the success train to Tom Brady. That's all this tells me. Because here's what we know. Bill Belichick in the NFL in New England without TB12, 8 games under .500, and that includes his final year when he was an AFC worst 4-13, and the greatest defensive mind of his generation had the worst defense in the conference. And then you look at what he has done outside of New England. Forget UNC. Look at what he did in Cleveland. Four of those five seasons, he was under .500. So if you factor in UNC, you factor in Cleveland, you factor in New England minus Tom Brady, 8 of those 11 seasons, he had a losing record. Every single time he coached Tom Brady, they not only had a winning record, half the time they were in a Super Bowl. The worst thing that could have happened to Bill Belichick has happened, where he has been exposed, where he has been completely outcoached, where he has been outwilled, where he has been outprepared. And the best thing happened to Brady, because it wasn't as if Bill Belichick and Brady went their separate ways and both struggled without each other. As you are very well aware, Tom Brady, the age of 43, in season number one in Tampa, with a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new system, a new part of the country, wins the Super Bowl, and Bill Belichick could not win a single playoff game when Tom Brady departed, because Bill Belichick's ego couldn't stand the sight of TB12 in the same building for another year. And I'm not trying to pile on. It's not just me. There are plenty of reports regarding the dysfunction, regarding the lack of harmony and communication when it comes to the players and the head coach himself. Don't take my word for it. Listen to this UNC football program, courtesy of 33 WRAL-TV in Raleigh, North Carolina. There's no kind of communication between Bill Belichick and the players.
According to multiple sources, UNC has a divided locker room, a disorganized staff, and an overall failure to communicate. A divide is natural when you have Mac Brown-era players and the 70 new ones Belichick brought in. But according to sources, preferential treatment and a lack of leadership has added to the discontent. One source said they don't fault the players. They fault the leadership that created this toxic environment. There's an individualistic mindset. Here are the example sources shared with us. Some players and their parents have better parking and stadium access on game days. Players who miss class and meetings aren't being held accountable. Players are selling their spare game tickets rather than sharing them with teammates. The non-travel roster players don't get to dress for home games, something you might see from an NFL practice player, but not in college football, adding to an overall lack of unity within the team. Parents say they have zero communication with coaches and were asked not to approach Bill Belichick, a stark contrast from the open-door approach of Mac Brown. One source said the lack of experience the coaches have is ridiculous. Belichick himself has been praised by multiple sources for his one-on-one coaching. It's his ability to run the program that's being questioned by parents and players. One source said, Bill shuts people out. He's limited in what he says.
Man, this ain't even a hit job. This is just simple reporting from WRAL. I mean, how many missteps can Bill Belichick have in a few months already? It's just utterly ridiculous. And you'd have some semblance of respect and sympathy if he just came out and said, look, I've struggled. I'm not getting the job done. This is where I need to be better. But when it's coming from different sources and reporters and you're not standing out in front of it, taking the arrows, it makes it look even worse. Because that's the way you really save face. Not with these BS appeals to boosters citing redemption. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN. How does this end for Bill Belichick? And we talk Shador Sanders next. Good Shepherd and for JR coming right back.
It's football season, and you got to keep up with the action. Listen in to Pushing the Pile, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network with Mike Renner, Kyle Long, and now me, JP Acosta, for smart analysis of everything between the lines. With four episodes a week, Sunday night recaps, film review, power tiers, and weekly previews, you will know ball. Stick with us until one team lifts the Lombardi. Follow and listen to Pushing the Pile on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.